Here's number four, called Speaking of Recipes and the Queens. Along the lines of the aides as helps, let me go way back to the beginning of the writing experience. When I used to teach beginners years ago, students would always want to know the recipe to make each movement or figure. Then it was for a circle, now it's for a shoulder in or a turn on the haunches. I always told them that while it was okay to learn the recipes, the Betty Crocker method of riding has some conceptual limitations. Instead, I always think of a template model to visualize how to make things happen. Way back in junior high school, I had to take a semester of metal shop. Our assigned semester project was to make a candlestick holder, the base of which was an upright bar of soft iron that we had to bend into an elaborate S-shaped scroll. To make the curves accurate, we had a full-sized pattern, a template, drawn out on graph paper. We would, over and over, put the iron bar in a jig, make a small bend, and then lay the bar over the template to see if each part of our curve matched the drawn one. This idea demonstrates a way to look at guiding and shaping your horse. To ride a circle, for example, it wouldn't be wrong to say that the recipe includes sitting with your inside seat bone forward, putting your inside leg at the girth and your outside one back, positioning the horse to the inside and suppling his inside jaw with your inner rein, and supporting his outside shoulder with your outer rein. The recipe works just fine in an ideal world. But let me describe a less than ideal, though slightly exaggerated, scenario that reveals the recipe's shortcoming. Your horse is trotting on the 20-meter circle with your aids applied according to the recipe above. But, to make life more interesting, just outside the eastern edge of its circumference, we dump a huge pile of oats, and just beyond its western edge, we wheel in a circus wagon holding three fearsome tigers. Now the recipe doesn't work so well. On the eastern side, your horse wants to overbend in and bulge his outside shoulder radically towards the oats. On the western side, he wants to counterflex and shy violently inward away from the cats. So, going back to the template model, first you must visualize the problem from above. Picture the line over the ground of the 20-meter circle you're trying to navigate. Then adjust your aids to make the horse's body conform to that arc as you travel around it. You can probably imagine that on the east side, your inner leg will hardly have to do anything, but your outside leg and outside rein will dominate as they build a wall to keep him from leaning towards the oats. On the opposite side of the circle, those aids won't do you any good at all. They'll only make him fall in off the track further. Then you'll need to massively reinforce the inner leg inner rein to keep him bent and to yield him back over into the outside rein and onto the line you mean to follow. So in this example, the aids your horse needs to feel on one half of each circle will be almost completely opposite from what he needs on the other half. That's why the template and not the recipe. Let's stay with the template idea a little longer so I can talk about ocean liners. Even now, from time to time in a clinic, I'll ask the riders for something like a turn on the haunches, and a few will look a little puzzled and say to me, "What are the aids for that?" My first question in return is, "Do you know what one looks like?" I ask them to describe the template, what the movement looks like if you were hanging in the rafters watching it from above. Then I tell them about being taken to New York City when I was very young. Back then, we're talking 1950s, we lived near Philadelphia, and a big treat was going over to New York on a Wednesday because that was the day the big transatlantic liners arrived from Europe, churned into the harbor amid sirens and fountains from the fireboats, and docked at their berths along the Hudson River. In those days, the liners, not the QE2 then, but the original Queen Mary and Queen Elizabeth and SS United States, didn't have bow thrusters or lateral props to help them maneuver into their piers. Instead, each docking was attended to by half a dozen tugboats. The captain stationed himself on the wing of the bridge with a megaphone, where he could view his template of what needed to be done. And he would shout down to each tug in turn as to what part of his ship they should push or pull into place. With that image in mind, I proposed to my students, remember the ones still trying to figure out the turn on the haunches, that if they can picture the template they need, and if the horse is responsive to their leg and hand, they should be able to invent the aids they need to produce the right result. Whether it's a turn on the haunches or a leg yield on the diagonal or a shoulder in up the center line, they're the captain and their legs are the tugboats that are placed and activated as needed to shepherd the horse through the movement. Learning the aids this way gets riders out of the prison of their left brain and helps them better to feel their way through movements and how those helps start to shape, balance, and connect their horse.